in this dunya, in this world, there are some people who are, in terms of obedience, they are successful. They are complete in their obedience. And there are such people, or there are some people, who are complete and successful in opposition or disobedience. So there are two groups, two groupings of people. Those people who are kamil, complete in their obedience, ita'at, in other words, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live their lives in conformity to Allah ta'ala's hukums. They are kamil and complete in their obedience to Allah ta'ala's orders. And the orders that Allah ta'ala has given, to live their lives in accordance to those orders, in obedience to those orders, conforming to those orders. Every sector of life for these people, whether it's environment outside the home, or whether it's in their business transactions, or whether it's within their relatives and family life, or whether it's to do with conduct, external conduct, social intercourse with the outside world, every, you can say, element of their life is in accordance to Allah Ta'ala's obedience. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has ordered and given to as an instruction, they implement, and whatever Allah Ta'ala has told them to refrain from, they leave and shun. And these are those who are kamil in their obedience to Allah. Kamil. Allah Jalla Jalalahu has mentioned these people, this group of people, in the Quran. Allah has stated about these people, the obedient people. In the whole Quran, Allah Ta'ala has given good news and glad tidings to those people. Allah Ta'ala says, these are those people who completely would obey me. Wherever I said, leave this and this is haram, they would consider it unlawful. If I said this was lawful, they would consider it lawful. Whichever order I gave to them, they would implement it. And there was no negativity from them, and they were not affected by wherever they were, what was around them, the environment. They just knew Allah Ta'ala's hukum has come, do it. Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave this, leave it. And these are those who did kamil obedience, complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And about these people, Allah has given many, many good pieces of news and glad tidings and news about those people who will enter into Jannah in paradise, their darajat, their rank, their status. And all of the rewards they'll get, mubasharat, good news for such people. And about jannat, hurum maqsuratum fil khayam. Allah Ta'ala says that they will be in tents with the hur, hurum maqsuratum fil khayam. Allah Ta'ala says, fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. Such good news for who? For which people? They will get the hur, the maidens in Jannah, in the tents, who had mukammil, kamil obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who totally and 100% would obey and implement. Okay? Now we come to the other group. Who are these people? What is this other group? This is that group which was kamil, complete in mukhalafat, in opposition. So group one was complete in obedience, and group two is complete in disobedience. They don't want to accept, they don't want to believe, they don't want to know, and nor do they want to do. They don't want to believe in Allah, they don't want to recognize Allah, they want to recognize paradise or hellfire or ahkams, just following their desires and their whims and their passions, and they have no fikr or worry of anything else. Freedom, farigh, totally free in following the desires. So group one, complete in obedience. Group two, complete in opposition. And nowhere can you see that, is there any chance of success? Reject, reject, reject. Shun, shun, shun. Leave, leave, leave. I don't believe this. I don't want this. I don't know this. I'm not interested. About them, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, what will happen to them? What will be their condition? What will happen to them? What will occur with them? What will Allah Ta'ala do with them? This is all Quran. And we believe in the Qur'an. And if we do have yaqeen in the Qur'an, then we should believe in these two things, don't we? We do. So now, the point is here, that what I am requesting you, or presenting to you, or presenting to myself, Allah Ta'ala has given us this majlis, this gathering, like Mawlana Sahib said in the announcement, that this is a gathering of rectification. So now, we should see that we've got an opportunity to think. That's what we're here for, to think for a few moments. Not here for any other reason. Just sit here to think and dwell. that we have to pass away from this world one day. So Allah Ta'ala has given us some understanding. Now let's think here, what's the scenario here? What's going to happen? Today I'm understanding 2 points. The Quran is explaining to us. This is the Quran. We think that Quran is full of something we don't understand. The whole Quran, we either mention group 1, obedience, group 2, disobedience. There will be dalil for group 1. The person who accepts, Allah gives dalil and explains events and historical events. And those who don't believe, Allah Ta'ala gives dalil and proof from historical events. Pick up the Quran, turn any page, you will see the events, history, facts, proof. Group 1, group 2, conclusion for each. So this is something we have to delve into depth. We don't have to, we just understand that it's not just about Ramadan where you read the Quran and then you're free from the Quran for the rest of the year. Brothers, we are living a serious life. We're going through serious passages, serious phases. What we had yesterday, where's it gone? What we ate yesterday, where has it gone? We don't know about it, it's history. An hour ago, that what you've done, you've drank water, where's it gone? Have you got the taste in your mouth for what you were running after? You had a beautiful barfi, sweet or halwa or pastry. Just an hour ago, put your hands up and tell me, just 10 minutes ago, have you got the taste in your mouth now for that food you ate? If the taste hasn't remained, then where will the human being remain? Tell me. If the tongue doesn't feel the taste after some time, then how can we say that the world is finite? It's continuous forever. Think about it. Just think. And travel along with me in this journey. It's a serious topic. This is not a speech. It's not a lecture. Allah Ta'ala has brought you here. And we should be grateful to Allah for His karam, His grace and His generosity that He has allowed our brains to absorb such beautiful words. Don't look at big gatherings. Look at the how has Allah Ta'ala sent me here. That's it. So now we have to think alongside each other. We have to travel alongside with our brains. Understanding alongside with the Quran. The Quran has told us 2 things. Now, we have to think that which group am I in? Which group am I in? Think for a moment. That am I mentioned in the Quran? I must be in group 1 or 2. There's no other group of makhluk or human beings, is there? Is there another group or tribe of people? So there are 2 groupings. So we must fall or be in one of these categories, isn't it? So let's think for a moment. Let's ponder. Let's analyze. You think yourself. I don't need to tell you. I need to think. I have to analyze. And you have to. And whoever's listening, think at the same time. This is the time to think. Allah says the person who thinks, he gets the maqam. The rank, he gets the rectification. So am I in that group of those who are completely obedient, who have kamil obedience, or am I in a group of those people who are kamil opposition to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His deen? Think, have you thought? Can you see where you are? Can you decide? Have you got to the conclusion? No problem. Maybe a third route can come out. There's a third group in between these two. There's a third grouping. There's a third group in between these two. One is group 1, kamil obedience. Group 2, extreme disobedience. And the third is in between. And they will think, we need to think, am I in between? Am I in that grouping? And who are those people? This is where they're not kafir. They're not the people who disbelieve. Nor are they disbelievers. They don't reject. Because to disbelieve is to reject. So you can reject anything. And we say that this person is doing kufr. He's rejecting or shunning. So to reject or to shun, they are not within that grouping, and they are not within the grouping who are consistent in the obedience and practice. Allahu Akbar. So they don't do kufr, nor are they consistent in the amal. So this is a weird group. Who is this third group? Where's this group come from? There's the group of believers, or those who have kamil obedience. Then there's the group who reject or neglect. And the third grouping are not those who reject or disbelieve. But they don't even practice. When they feel like it, they do it, pray. If they don't feel like it, they'll leave something. But it's never been a standard that, is this coming from Allah? Where is it coming from? If they like something, oh yeah, yeah, halal meat, halal chickens, yes, halal roasters, oh, I like this, yes. Four marriages, four weddings, four wives, mashallah, I like that. How much enjoyment we have in that. We like this kind of thing, don't we? We run towards these things. One person was told about Salah. He said, look, read Quran. Where's the hukum about Salah in Quran? He says, this in the Quran. La taqarrabu Salah. He said, the words are in there. The Quran is saying that don't go towards Salah. So how can I pray Salah? He's given the proof. And he doesn't know the next part of the juz. That how have you not come towards Salah? That don't go towards Salah in the state of drunkenness. He said, no. Let me do the first thing. Then when I get to the second part of the verse, then I'll do that. He said, I can't even do the first one. So there's such a group who literally takes the meaning or the literal meaning of the Quran passage. They say, oh, we can do what we want. We can leave what we want. What's coming? They don't know. So this third grouping, are we in that grouping? So there's 3 groupings. 1, kamil obedience. and acceptance. 2, kamil, non-acceptance, disobedience. And 3, is the in-between. Not disobedience, not rejection, but no amal at the same time. So let's think, which group are we in? Have you thought? Let's think, brothers, because this is a serious issue. So for the first grouping, Allah Ta'ala gives good news. May Allah Ta'ala include us in that group. Because they have enjoyment upon enjoyment in this world and in the hereafter. In this world, Jannah, in the hereafter, Jannah. On every difficulty, Jannah. All temporary difficulties, nothing makes a difference to them because they've accepted the hukum of their Rabb. No problem if we persevere with the difficulty. If in the morning, if I have to sleep less and I come to Salah in the Jama'ah congregation, what difference does it make? Why do I need to have a life of enjoyment and ayashi? So persevere through difficulty, then go and sleep afterwards. Allah Ta'ala will give you more sweet sleep after that. No problem. So persevere through the phases of difficulty in life. So if we're in that group, alhamdulillah, very good. And then secondly, those people who are kamil, non-acceptance, very dangerous group. And the third group, in between, standing on the net, and I analyze that most of the qawm of the ummah today is in the third grouping. Now are they those who reject, and nor are they who totally practice. And this group has increased big time today, en masse. En masse. And what's the punishment? So first group, good news and reward. Second group, we know the punishment. Third, by Allah, let's hope we're not in this group. What's the punishment for the third grouping? That the chances that you're sitting here and we're discussing and listening. So today is the chance we have. That if our life is passing, we know where we are. And if this is our position, then today we have a chance that we can change our grouping. Our grouping, our sector. That's why I'm speaking today, that today we have an opportunity. If we understand today what the Quran is saying, then today we can succeed. Otherwise, what's the punishment for this? What will happen? Number one. Then why does this person do this? Then nor is he a person who rejects and doesn't believe, nor does he believe or accept. He says, Allah, I believe in you, but I won't listen to you. Ajib sector, ajib group. Allah, I believe you, but I don't want to follow what you're saying. I don't want to accept what you're saying. So I want to not conform. This is a weird person. What's the reason for this? I need to think. Why do I do such actions? I believe in Allah, but I don't accept Allah's orders. So what Allah says is haram, I go towards that. What Allah says refrain from, I don't stop. Whatever Allah gives the orders to do, I don't do those actions. In all of our life, let's start from our home. Let's not look at other people. If I've got 5 or 6 children, or there are 7 or 8 of us, then let's take the count of how many people come into this group apart from us. Let's take the selection, analyze. Let's do a plot of percentages. If there are 8 people in our home, yes, plot the chart. That how many, let's count and select. How many people are coming into the group, of the group in between, the third group? This is very dangerous if somebody falls into this category. Why do we practice like this? We can realize the reason, then inshallah, aql will come. Let me tell you an event, a story. Then we'll understand it clearly, what I'm trying to say, what we're trying to discuss. Listen clearly. Listen clearly. Are you all paying attention to what I'm saying? Have you understood everything up till now? You're understanding what I've said up to now, isn't it? You're right. Okay, good. So now I'll tell you an event. And this event, when you listen to this, then me and you will clearly understand the grouping. Obedience, disobedience, and in between. Now, there was a person living in a village, in a city. An imam. Like the imam of the mosque who leads the salah. He was an imam in a village, in a town. And he used to come and lead the salah, he used to lead Jummah salah and the different prayers. One day it occurred with him, listen carefully to this story, this event, because this will solve our predicament. So what happened was that at the time of Fajr, he prayed the sunnah, the 2 sunnah before the fard, before Fajr. And then he fell sleepy. He fell sleepy, he was in his hujra, he was sitting at the back, he fell sleepy. And then he started to sleep and he was snoring. And the time came for salah. Then the iqama was called. You know, the people call they say the iqama, the call to prayer, so the imam gets up. Then he suddenly stood up and he went. To where? Towards the prayer mat. He ran. Now he got to the prayer mat and he stood. And he thought, oh, I don't have wudu. Now he's in the predicament, in the vicious cycle. The iqama's finished, people are standing behind him to say, Allahu Akbar, start the salah. He's thinking, oh, I slept, my wudu's broken. And he knows the masala, he knows the question and the answer. He knows that he needs to do ablution. So now he thinks, what shall I do? Within a few seconds, and he started to think. And listen to this story. Because it's similar to our event. So now he was in a cycle, vicious cycle in his mind, that this is a severe sin, that without wudu, if I lead the salah and start the salah, this is qiyamah, I will get punished. All of the sin will be on my head. And then one is the sin of praying salah without wudu. There are many hadith, what will happen. Then the second sin of leading the salah without the prayer. And shaitan put in his mind that if you now leave the prayer mat and go to do wudu, you will leave the masjid. They will say, oh, he fell asleep. How did this happen? He hasn't started Islam time. So in these thoughts, you thought, oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just say Allahu Akbar and lead the salah. Now we'll see after what happens. No difference will it make. I'll do tawbah after. I'll ask Allah for tawbah. So he said, Allahu Akbar. He raised his hands, did takbir. Started salah. He was sweating, leading the salah. And he felt the remorse, regret. And he was in a bad state afterwards. And he left afterwards, after salah. That's it. So that's what happened there. End of that phase. By chance, what happened is that this situation again presented itself to him, and he came to the prayer mat again, and his wudu broke when he was standing on the prayer mat second time. Different example, masjid was full, the musallis, everyone's waiting for him to start the salah, the lines were there, the safs were made. Now, because he had done that sin once, listen carefully, because sin upon sin, sin breeds sin. So when he repeated the sin, because when he'd already implemented the sin first time, and he didn't really do any tawbah, so second time he didn't have that feeling which he had before, sweating, being distressed and bad situation, feeling bad. So he felt a little bit bad. He said, look, I did it like this before. Okay, I'll lead the salah again. Allahu Akbar. And he led the salah without wudu because he broke his wudu on the prayer mat. Then when the situation arose again, similar sort of situation, he did it again. So it became a habit. So sometimes he led salah with wudu, sometimes he led salah without wudu, sometimes with ablution, without ablution. And to the extent that once a time came that it was fard for him to do ghusl. You know, ghusl janabat. He was in the state of janabat, the major impurity. He had to do ghusl. It was fard. It was late. And he came to the prayer mat. So now before he led salah wa wudu, now he had janabat, major impurity. He had to do ghusl. And he knew that he had to do ghusl. And he thought, oh, it's okay. Before I didn't pray with wudu. So he said, Allahu Akbar. And he led the salah in the state of janabat. And when he did this action, then listen to his hal, it changed completely his condition. To this extent that in this state he continued, and it became famous about him, and this news spread that he has come out of the fold of Islam, this imam. He has left Islam. So the people in that time, in that generation, the a'imma, the scholars, who the leaders, the scholars of the other masajids, they were thinking that what's happened here? Surprise, shock, an imam, a big imam, he's become a disbeliever, murtad, renegade. They were distressed. So they all made a meeting, and they came together, made a majlis, and the imams, and said, let's go to this imam. What's the reason? Let's explain to him. Let's give him some advice so he can take heed and make a U-turn and come back. So they all went, the scholars got together, they went to meet that imam, said that we've heard this about you, that you've come out of the fold of Islam, you've rejected deen, Islam. And he heard, and he wasn't distressed, he wasn't under pressure. He said, yes, I've left Islam, I've left the madhab, Islam. They said, you've left the madhab, the deen, the religion? And he didn't feel any remorse, no sweat, no regret, no distress. They said, what's the reason you've left the deen? He said, I don't even know how my heart has changed, but I've left the deen. Then he told them this story, that once I went and my wudu broke, and I led the salah, I didn't care. Then I led the salah second time when the wudu broke in the prayer mat. Then I led the salah again. Then one day, fard was it for me to do ghusl, have a bath. And in janabat, I led the salah. And they were listening, the walis of Allah. And the tears are coming out of their eyes. And their condition, Allah, what's happened here? Then he said, such a time came that my heart changed and it flipped. And I saw that there's no issue here. I don't feel any regrets, no remorse. And I was just following my routine and I had no issue and I couldn't see no adab, no punishment. I couldn't realize what was happening. He said, is it? So they were thinking. They reflected. They said, what happened then? He said, then once I was just sitting down one day and a non-Muslim came, a person who doesn't believe, and he didn't give me much tabligh, he didn't say much to me. He just said something small time. And I said, yeah, I'll come into your deen. And I left Islam. No jolt, no shock. He didn't try hard. He just said something. And I thought, yeah, this is okay. And I just thought, okay, I'll come out of Islam. They were listening, the elders, the scholars. Then he said a word from his mouth. He said that there's no punishment on me. Look at me. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. And totally, they heard the a'imma, the scholars, the walis well at that time, they started to shriek. They said, Dhalim, oppressor, you think that no azab has come on you? No punishment? Is this not the biggest punishment that Allah Ta'ala has taken iman out of your heart? Is this not the biggest punishment? Iman has come out of your heart, it has left. And then the verse of the Quran that Allah says in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. This is the punishment for the third group. That what has Allah said? وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Allah Ta'ala said that what have I done to their hearts? I've made their hearts like rock, stone, sealed. So this grouping, the third grouping, listen carefully, that doesn't do kufr, nor does it implement the amal, the deeds, practices according to his desires and doesn't do kufr either. What's the punishment? They think that, oh, there's no punishment on us. That I'm fine. That imam, he thought it's fine. I left salah, I broke my wudu, I led the salah. He had khawf. But when nothing happened to him the first time, he thought there's no punishment. That's fine. I'll go to the next stage for this sin. So he became cool. He did dua and he said, there's no punishment. And his feeling within his heart, unconsciously, unknowingly, he kept on accepting that he's okay. But in opposition, every sin has a punishment that starts. It doesn't mean that rocks are going to fall from the skies onto our heads, or Qiyamah will come to our life, or we're going to pass away, or my house is going to be turned upside down, or my children are going to be wiped away, or my shops and businesses are going to shut down, or while I'm walking and I'm running, my business is going to stop. No, no. This is not the condition that will come. We think this is adab, physical analysis. This is not the punishment. Adab, the biggest adab and punishment is what? Allahu Akbar. وَجَعَلْنَا قُلُوبَهُمْ قَاسِيَةً. Allah Ta'ala says, slowly, slowly, I allow the punishment to descend onto the hearts, and the person starts to leave the iman. Now if that imam, when he had committed the first sin, listen carefully, if he had committed that first sin, if after that sin, in that state, he had remorse and regret and did istighfar, that Allah Ta'ala, I disobeyed you, Allah forgive me, if he was in that position, then the second time would not have come. When he would have had that second message, okay, fair enough, he came in that predicament. When he's insane, human being makes sins, makes mistakes, I can sin, mashallah, big walis, everyone can sin, the greatest kutub abdals, except the prophets, they are innocent. But everyone else can sin. But Allah Ta'ala gave such a beautiful tool to the mu'min, which is tawbah, which is repentance. Remember this point, when a human being makes a mistake, and after sinning, if he repeats that sin again without regret and remorse, then understand and consider that the adab has started. One prayer if we reject it, one salah if we leave it, and after that we leave the other salah, we pray sometimes, we leave sometimes, then remember, this is nothing. Oh, I think my business is running, my transactions are running, I've got profit, my children are fine, they're healthy, and everything within's hunky-dory. But the adab is what? Allah Ta'ala says, the punishment comes that he will depart from this world without iman. He will see the adab when he's leaving this world at that time. Ah, the punishment has started. Because when the sign of adab comes punishment, that the khawf, the fear comes out of the heart, is extracted, and he continues to sin. Allah has grabbed his heart, taken the fear out, and the khawf of Allah, the fear of Allah has come out. So this group, look at it, who? That don't pray salah. Why? Because khawf, fear has come out of the heart. They are in adab. They are in the midst of punishment. The woman is in the midst of punishment. The man is in the midst of punishment. Look, when a person sins, when a man or a woman sins, and after sinning, the punishment for that specific sin, for example, a man is leaving salah. The punishment for leaving that salah is what? So that same imam, just like the imam who led the salah without iman. So where has he gone? His imam is wasted. So this condition of a person, that from Allah Ta'ala or from Rasulullah an order is coming, and we don't believe in that order. We have no fear when we disobey the order, and we are consistent in the sinning, and after one sin we do a second sin, and then a third sin, and then a fourth sin. Tell me, what is this situation? I leave salah, I reject salah, I reject congregation, salah and jama'ah. What is the punishment? Tell me. The punishment, if we hear it, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that the biggest hypocrisy is a person that there's adhan and jama'ah congregation of salah in the masjid, and he doesn't go to attend the congregation salah in the masjid. Dunya stops him, his nafs stops him. This is the biggest nifaq. When that person rejects jama'ah congregation, sits in that place and says, I can pray. And the hadith is stated, his salah is not accepted. Doesn't matter how many adhans he gives or ikama, his salah is not accepted. This is the decision. So where's his khawf gone? Where has his fear gone? His fear has disappeared. 1, 2, 3. So his fear has disappeared. He's not going. And what does he know? That the adab that's coming onto him, his heart, is finished. His dhikr is not existent. His fikr is not existent. His Quran is not existent. Why? Because he has gone towards kufr. He's gone towards kufr. Do you understand? When a woman leaves the home, and she discards haya and modesty, and she leaves the resources of haya and modesty. So when the first time she leaves the home like this, what will be a hal? Will be very bad. But when she repeats and she doesn't do tawbah, she doesn't repent and she doesn't eliminate that sin, then what happens? Then her heart is involved in adhab. Then her heart becomes hard. Then leaving the house, coming back, leaving, and no haya, she doesn't have a man, woman, totally free and lost of haya. This is the usul, without principle. So this grouping, the third grouping, if we are in this grouping, if we see that our practice is in conformity with the third grouping, then the punishment won't come immediately. When will the punishment come? When that person is departing the world without iman, kharij from iman. This is the decision of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says that I have grabbed his heart. Now we need to look into our homes and our families and our lives. How many people are involved? How many families are involved in this? The whole ummah. How many people are involved in this third grouping who say they believe in Allah but they reject Allah Ta'ala's orders and their punishment, Allahu Akbar, that they cannot have khatima bil iman. They cannot have death with iman. They will be free from iman. So we need to pull ourselves together. Who can fight with Allah? Who can challenge Allah? We are happy that we have broken an order of Allah. No, one order of Allah breaks, the adab will come. It cannot be that we disobey Allah and the adab doesn't come. But when will the adab come? Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that don't wait for the punishment that I will give you an accident, or you will be beaten by somebody, or your child will die, or your businesses will shut down. No, the adab will start straight away. And the sign of that is that you will become more courageous in your sinning. One sin, you leave the congregation salah, the third salah, you leave small items of assistance due to sinning. You'll say, I'm fine, Allah Ta'ala has not done anything to me. But due to one disobedience, Allah Ta'ala says, the adab has come onto your heart. As long as you don't do tawbah, the azab is there. But if you do tawbah, and you say, Allah, I won't do this sin again, Allah, forgive me, then Allah Ta'ala says, I will forgive, and you will start from the clean slate. And this is what should happen, my brothers. Our life should pass like this, that if we have committed the sin or mistakes, we are insan, we've committed the sins, whatever type of sin, lying, backbiting, or saying bad to somebody, in whichever form or color, we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In every color or form, then what should we do at that time? We shouldn't be courageous and brave. Ah, I've sinned. Oh, I've disobeyed Allah. No, we should bow and jump and down into prostration and say, Allah, I promise I won't repeat this sin. If you repeat the sin again, then consider your heart has gone. And then you have to go towards the conclusion which Allah Ta'ala has written and announced that there's the punishment for the sinning. So my brothers, this is something that we have to think about hard and be cautious. May Allah Ta'ala not put us into this third grouping. If I'm passing through these predicaments and this hal in my life, Allah, don't put me through this challenge. Allah, just like that imam who left the iman, many people leave Islam. Nobody can be firm and stubborn in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't disobey and be stubborn in front of Allah. Don't say, oh, I did this sin and Allah has not done anything to me. I'm praying salah, I can do these other sins, I'm doing this sin, but it's okay, I'm praying at the same time parallel. Allah has given us a kamil deen, total deen, total hukam. Not that do one thing and leave the other thing. It's alright, I'm doing this worship, but I can do these other sins because nothing's up to me. Totally not. Every action which is in conformity to Allah Ta'ala's deen, we have to stop on that point and say, what is Allah Ta'ala's order about this? What should I do here? Okay? And don't think, look how much loss is there, how much benefit is there, I've got benefit in these sins and loss in this disobedience. No. Put your hands up and say, right, is this a sin? Okay. Whether I can see the punishment or not, the adab of Allah will come if I do this sin. So I need to leave this. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we can understand these points, these words. And according to the Quran and the Hadith, we bring our lives in line. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.